Swim check 1, 2. Bike check 1, 2. Run check 1, 2. I think we're ready. Let's try this. Welcome to the Try Beginner's Luck Podcast, a podcast where we explore the sport of triathlon from a variety of perspectives to help beginner triathletes on their journey. I am your host, Mashonda Shines. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Try Beginner's Luck. It's Women's History Month, and what better way to start the month than with a woman who's helped to create a look, a feel, a confidence for women to look good and feel good as they race. Well, a little bit about my guest is she was a competitive age grouper herself and state age group, even though she qualified for pro. So, you know, she was good. Mm-hmm. But you know what? She was like, I'm having some trouble with my clothes and I don't like how I'm looking and feeling. And she says, I'm going to do something about it. And so she decided to make gear that worked for all women triathletes, both fit and functionally. And then if not just creating stuff for us to look good wasn't enough, she said, let me take it up a notch. I want to create a supportive community for athletes of all ability to get new athletes into sport. Now, let's just paint this picture. You created a fitness line or athletic line, but then you create a community for new athletes. And then this podcast is for beginners. What? Yes, it is a win-win. And I get the pleasure of bringing to this podcast, Miss Kebby Holden of Core Sports. Kebby, welcome to Try Beginner's Luck. How you doing?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. What a kind and super generous introduction. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I am glad that you are here. This has been something in the working for a little bit. And I just want to give a shout out to Devin, who was so instrumental in making sure that we connected, because I was like, Devin, you are a core superhero and I need you to make this connection. Yes. And she did. And I'm so grateful that we are able to make it happen now. And one of these things that I say to myself when guests aren't available when I typically want them is everything happens for a reason. And November would have been great, right? But March is better because we get to uplift women and all the work you're doing to amplify a woman's voice and their confidence in sport.
That's right. It's, you know, I feel like even in this day and age, it's still important to focus on women's voices and women's stories. I often get pushback saying, don't we have enough equality nowadays? And I sort of say, no, we don't, not just yet. So we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep talking. We're going to keep telling stories. And that's why it's so important to have Women's History Month.
So, you know, I have to ask you, Kebby, like, who, you don't have to tell me who exactly, but who actually says, is there enough equality? Like, wow.
Well, you know, this was probably 2 or 3 years ago. There was a professional, a very good professional, who actually put a post out on her social media account saying, you know, as a professional, I've never felt as a woman, I've never felt discriminated against. I've never felt like I was lesser than. And I don't think we really need Women's History Month anymore, because I think women are pretty much equal around the world now. And this was a pro who's got a platform, and I found it shocking. I know a number of my friends were texting me going, what in the world? And I couldn't help but think it's such a privileged place to be able to say that. Like, if you feel that way, God bless you. And I'm so glad you have a warm, loving, equal family and circle of friends that make you feel that way. But it is absolutely not the case around the world and in this country and across races, across, you know, religions. So so that one really stood out to me. But even in manufacturing, I've had gentlemen, you know, that have told me in the manufacturing business, women don't need that kind of thing. Women don't, women don't, we don't need to wear something that, you don't need that thick fabric because, women don't get that cold. And I'm like, women probably get colder than men, from my personal experience. So, I think there's little corrections that need to be made, some big corrections, but, it's still alive and well.
Well, I salute you for...
We've made strides, but...
Yeah, and I salute you for making those corrections. And I think that's what has to continue to happen. We have to continue to make, in our micro conversations, the corrections so that ultimately, in the bigger picture, hopefully that message will get across at some point. And yes, we do have a ways to go, but progress is being made. Yeah.
It is. And I see that just talking to you, and that gets me pumped up every day because you do see it and you do hear these voices and these stories. And look, I mean, I think, we're not looking for anything extraordinary. We just want to be able to speak up and be safe doing so and have an equal voice. And it's certainly not like we're asking for the moon. It's just, I think I would just like for someday for it to almost be a non-issue because it's all just out there.
Yeah. And so, even if we were asking for the moon, it's okay.
True. True. No, you're absolutely right. And we just landed on it again. So, that brings it back into the picture. So
brings it back into the picture. Wow. That's so speaking of like in terms of equality and starting a company essentially for women, I'm sure you've had to overcome so many different barriers alone. Can you talk about what it was like to celebrate CORE, what it was like to start CORE in 2013 and now being your 11th year? So you've had 11 years to grow, to evolve, to overcome barriers. I'm probably sure you had a lot of tears, but also a lot of cheers at the same time. So tell us about your journey of starting CORE.
Yeah, it's an interesting one looking back on it. It came up really, really, really. So it was something that I had wanted to try for a long time. I do not have a background in manufacturing or fashion design or anything like that. I like to think I've always, had my eye on, trends and clothes and that type of thing. But really, I have no background in it. My background's in management consulting and website design. So, but my husband and I had just moved to Los Angeles from San Diego, and there were a lot of suppliers in Los Angeles. And so I thought, God bless my husband. He was like, try it, start small, try it out. Let's see where it goes. If nothing else, we won't regret that we tried. So, but I had been in San Diego for 5 years, and at the birthplace of triathlon, I had gotten pretty competitive there, and was doing just a lot of training, and constantly had chafing or support issues or just boring clothing option topic, So, and then all of my training partners that were female kind of were saying the same things, like, this doesn't fit very well, or this doesn't support me up here, or this, makes my legs look like sausages, and kind of the things you hear all the women complain about. And as women, we're so used to trying to hide our bodies and or drape them in a certain way with clothing. And, in triathlon, there's no hiding, that spandex is a second skin. So I was like, I think we can do a better job with some of this. And at the time, this was, again, 10, 11 years ago, they were doing something what they called pink it and shrink it, which is take the men's clothes, shrink it down to a smaller size, and put it in pink and purple, and then call it the women's version. And so we were like, that's not really going to work for most of us. Works for some. And I'm pretty much a tomboy to begin with. I mean, I'm looking at my background here, it looks a little pink, but I am totally a tomboy growing up. I was out there with my brother getting my skinny knees and climbing trees and playing sports. But I also grew up playing tennis. So I liked wearing my little tennis skirts, and I liked being feminine and sporty. I thought that was a good intersection. So I wanted to bring that maybe a little bit more into triathlon. And it was really interesting. I had no idea what I was doing. I blindly just boldly marched in. I found a pattern maker I taught myself how to do some design work on Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop. And then I marched around Los Angeles and found factories that would be open to working with a new brand that had no orders to start with. And was happy to work with us. And it was important to me to start in the USA as well as a factory in the USA, because I wanted to be able to be very hands-on and see the work being done and make sure it was exactly like I wanted it to be. But it was interesting to say the least. Manufacturing is tough in the sense that they typically like you to place minimum orders of a certain size and to be an established brand. So I had funny anecdote from back my first when we were going to first launch to the public was at a trade show they used to have in Vegas every year in September called Interbike. And you remember that? And it was where all the buyers from all the bike shops around the country would come and place their orders for the year. And so we're like, we're going to launch at Interbike. And I had four prints in a couple different garments. And I was so nervous. And it was coming down to the wire, and the samples weren't made. The samples weren't made. I had one piece of everything that I could take pictures of on a couple models. And it literally came down to midnight the night before we left for Las Vegas. We were leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning to drive to Vegas. And at midnight, I met the manufacturer in a grocery store parking lot under the street lights, out of the back. It was a cash deal and out of the back of his car. And I got all my samples and I put them straight in the U-Haul and we took it to Vegas pretty much. So there's been some skimping to get by for sure. But I just, I knew I was on the right path, because women all kept saying the same thing. I also know that sizing was an issue. I was in the best shape of my life. I'm 5'9", so I'm fairly tall for a woman. And I was at race weight and I was still wearing extra large in brands. And I thought, my God, if I'm an extra large, what are other women that are bigger than me? And that are, not as competitive or just do this for fun. And well, we all do it for fun, but you know what I mean? Like there's bigger sizes out there. And my God, that just seems screwy to me. So I really wanted to work on the getting things back to true to sizing. And that's kind of what I always tell women is like the sizing is not a judgment, it's a designation. But I think we could really make it a little bit fairer across the playing field.
I love that. So in 2013, this was some of your challenges. I started the sport in 2014, and I remember having a man's suit and having to travel with a man's suit. Now let's paint these apples to apples, right? Because you're 5'9 and you were wearing an extra large. And let's say if you were at your waist weight, or you were wearing what size were you wearing? If let's just paint the picture in women's sizes, you were wearing a size.
Oh, in regular clothes?
Right, in regular clothes.
Like a 4 or 6.
Okay, 4'6". So technically, that's regular sizes for women. 4'6" is in that regular size. Now, at in 2014, I'm 5'9", or technically 5'10". I was a 14'16". And if you're wearing extra large, then I would have been 16XL, even though that's not a real thing. But that just goes to show you the disproportionate disadvantages that was out back in 2014, 2013 for women and their clothes. Because I remember vividly having
Right.
a man's trisuit.
Yeah, and then you're like it's bigger in some areas, too small in other areas, because you're not accounting for boobs or hips, but you are accounting for broader shoulders and wider arms, and so
Correct.
it just doesn't work. Unfortunately, it's so sorry. It just I think women deserve more. This sport is hard enough as it is. And if you really want to perform at your best, you don't need to be fussing around with your clothes, and you want to feel good and you want to feel empowered. So let's make it fit. Let's make it functional. I'm not just going to put a swath of mesh in and call it a shelf bra because that's not holding anything up. And I mean, God forbid you have boobs in the sport. And let's just make it, and then let's make it good looking to boot. And good looking is subjective. So, you know, let's put a variety of different prints out there because different people like different colors, different styles. So I always try to, when I'm designing, I try and think of being a Spice Girl. And so we have sporty and posh.
I love
And so
it.
it's just a, you know, a little bit different things for different people.
Yeah, you said that that spandex is like second skin, and I have to admit, I love the spandex portion of it because it helps to hold you together and feel like secure. It makes you feel secure. And so I appreciate that you think about it from a vantage point of, the spandex being a second skin. Now, your experience to building core is interesting. It's as if you were on a endurance journey, right? Like you got to relive the endurance journey from building a brand side versus actually participating. And what I heard at the end of your story when you were in the parking lot in, say, the 16th hour of whatever race it is that you're doing, and you're picking up products, finally getting, and you're just like, I did it. And sometimes when we are building something, and for those of you who are listening, who are working on a project, working on a dream, keep going. Don't stop, because the moment that you think about quitting that project that you're working on or that dream because something isn't going right, is the moment that the breakthrough is happening. It just hasn't come to you yet. And so I just want to encourage you,
Oh,
because I
that is
know
the
it's
truth.
so easy to like be like, I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm not getting the recognition I deserve, or no one's following me yet on social media, or no one's doing this. Just keep going.
Keep going. 100%. I could not have said that better. I think that's such an important thing to stress, whether you're starting a company or taking your first steps in your endurance journey. Is to keep going. When you get knocked down, keep going. I've been asked multiple times, like, what's the most important thing you've learned being an entrepreneur? And I just have to say, it's a lot of hard work. And my husband and I often joke when we're, you know, sweeping out the back room and folding more clothes and putting them in bags and putting them back on the shelf for inventory. You know, we're always like, oh, Paris, New York, glamour, fashion shows. Click, 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 click. And, you know, there is some of that and it's really fun, but then you're still, you know, you've got to do all the other, you're wearing all the other hats. You're basically, you know, you're janitor, you're accountant, you are your marketing person, you're everything. And so, and you have to learn a lot along the way. So don't, and perfection, as much as I love it so much, you can't always be perfect or you won't go anywhere. You won't do anything. Because you're not always ready. Sometimes you just have to put your next foot forward and keep going, even though it's not, you know, it's 98% instead of 100%. And you learn to deal with that too. And there are people that are going to support you, even though that's the case.
The perfection part. I think we got to pause and talk about that for a second, because you're talking to, maybe I'm Imperfection Anonymous. Like, Imperfection Anonymous. I have gotten so hung up on so many things because they weren't perfect. And now I'm just like, you know what? Do it and be the MVP. And MVP in this instance stands for minimal viable product.
I love it. I
Yeah.
love it.
Get the minimal
Yes. I mean,
viable
oh my
product out
gosh.
until you get to a point where it's great, and it'll be great when more people come along. But minimal viable product, if it's horrible, okay, I'm still the MVP because I got it done.
Well, and I'm thinking about this podcast, like if I mean, on the one hand, imperfections are relatable, right? So I kind of love it when I see somebody else not being perfect. Perfect can be really intimidating. But also, when you're putting new stuff out there and stuff that matters, I don't care if it's perfect. I just want you making progress. I want to see that new stuff. I want to listen to it. And I'm just glad you're changing the playing field, right? So it doesn't, and I don't know it's not perfect. You know, what I'm hearing from you sounds pretty awesome. So again, I think we get in our own heads so much about, oh, it's not exactly what I was hoping for, and I wish this was a, half an inch more this way and that. And I'm like, nobody else is seeing that. Now, I have made plenty of very public mistakes, and we've had, some manufacturing issues. And I think, just like anything, you have to have the right intent behind it. Like if you make a mistake and you step up and you say, oh man, I messed that up, I'm so sorry, that's worth something too. So I mean, I hate it. I don't aim to do that at all, but when it does happen, and it invariably does, take hold of it and be like, yep, that I messed that up. Oh, sorry. Let me fix it for you. But I give major props to anybody going out there and trying something new, even if they're not 100% sure it's the way to do it.
Me too. So just remember, you are the MVP. Produce that minimal viable product.
I love it.
That's it. That's it.
I'm gonna write that
'Cause
down when we
you
get down.
should.
That's
You
going down. That's
should.
going on. That's going on my board here.
That's it. I was actually talking to a colleague because you can get so hung up on making sure everything is perfect. And in meetings sometimes, especially when you're building systems, it's not going to be perfect. And just get the minimal viable product. And so I was like, yeah, that's right. MVP, be the MVP, minimum viable product. It doesn't mean you didn't do it with excellence. It just means it's the best it could be in this moment. And that is good enough.
Right. Well, and you look at the biggest companies in the world have to reissue updates all the time to fix their bugs. And I'm like, if Apple can, has to do it, it's going to happen to Core every once in a while too. So
And it's going to happen to TBL every now and then and Mashonda Shine. So here we are together getting our update. So, okay, what were you saying?
no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we've talked about the business part and we talked about how Core, you started Core in 2013 and kind of gave a little bit of background in our banter about like just business and not giving up. But let's talk about your first entry into sport. Like, this is for beginners. And so I'm sure you were in sport long before 2013. So tell us, how did you come into sport and take us into that journey of wanting to participate in sport all the way to like your first race?
Into triathlon specifically or sport in general?
Well, we know you are the consummate athlete, but we're talking about like triathlon specifically, because we're
Well,
encouraging triathletes, but I'm sure if it's helpful to paint the picture of what you did previously to transition, then sure, totally do that.
no, I think my non-entrance into triathlon when I really wanted to enter into it is part of the reason I have the messaging that I do and why I think your podcast is so important. I remember being in college, and a senior at the time had gotten into triathlon, and it sounded like such a cool thing to do. It was like so badass and so cool. And I really wanted to do one, but I was way too scared to sign up myself and to do it, without anybody else with me. And so I didn't do it. I was too chicken. So for years it kind of just went past, and I finally have met my now husband. It's all his fault. But he had just done his first race, and we were getting to know one another. And so I would just sort of tag around on some of his training and his workouts, and riding this old mountain bike and complaining I would never wear those stupid bicycling shorts. Those are so stupid. I'm never wearing them. But gradually we had so much fun doing it, and just, getting all sweaty and slowly upping our mileage. And so we signed up for our his second race, my first race. And so I did my first, very small sprint in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And I had a blast, and I beat him, which made me happy. I'm just kidding. I'm not competitive at all. Just kidding. It's only because he taught himself how to swim to do the sport. And I'm always amazed when people do that because it is such a technical part of the race. And so that's always impressive to me. So, but yeah, I mean, I started super small. He and I did, we ended up getting married, but we ended up doing sprints and a couple of Olympic distances for years. And then I mistakenly, or not mistakenly, got one of my best friends from college who was a competitive marathoner involved. And so she and I had a friendly a frenemy competition going, and we gradually crept up to the bigger distances. And then when Reg and I moved to San Diego, triathlon was everywhere. Like you couldn't go anywhere without seeing triathletes running or biking or swimming. So we just sort of took it up a notch there and got more competitive, and he started doing more and more races, and just got a good group of training partners and some coaches, and really just sort of immersed ourselves in the sport and the language and the whole lifestyle.
So, Greg is his name?
Reg.
Reg. Okay.
Yep.
So, Reg is the reason why you try. I love it. I love the fact that,
It
you got to tag along and see. And a lot of people get the bug by just going and supporting a friend or a loved one or just being in the right place at the right time and seeing the event taking place, right? You're like, wait, what's happening? And then you got in and got competitive. But doing your first race in Hilton Head, one, I bet it was beautiful because Hilton Head is absolutely gorgeous. But two, you beat him on your first try.
But also, I don't remember the beginning of that race because I was so scared. I don't remember standing on the beach in the morning, and it was an open water ocean swim, which I'm like, why did I do that? But yes, no, I fell in love with it right away. It was awesome. It hurt so bad, and it was not fast, and it was not long, considering, for distances I did later. But I mean, there was nothing glamorous about it, but I was so proud of the two of us for doing it, and I got to do it with him, which is again why I think it's so important to find a friend or find an encouraging group that you can be encouraged to overcome your fear of signing up for that first race or getting involved or going to a training group for the first time, because it's so helpful to get over that first bump. And then all of a sudden it becomes, it's like a slippery slope. And then it's just like, I want more, I want more. So, but getting over that first hurdle, I waited probably 6 years to sign up for my first race because I was too intimidated to do it. And that, I mean, that said something about me, but also, I think we're so fortunate now. There are so many groups and communities and tri clubs that encourage folks to come in, even if you know nothing, to come and say, join us. We'll show you. We all started out where you are. We all had to take that first step. Come, let us help you do it. I think that's cool.
Now, your first race, was it a sprint or an Olympic? Or what distance was it?
First
Let me
race
just
was
ask.
a, I could not have imagined running 6 miles. So it was a sprint. We did sprints for probably 2 or 3 years. And then we did our first Olympic and kind of stayed between sprints and Olympics. And then, like I said, I got one of my good friends from college involved, and she was a marathoner. So she's like, we're doing our first half marathon or our first half Ironman together. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And then she and I ended up doing our first Ironman together too. So that was really fun and really special. And it was just wonderful, friendly competition slash accountability that kept us going to it. So
You
I think
have
it's
to
just
have
more fun
that.
with a friend.
Absolutely.
100%.
You have to have that friendly competition because it gives you something to work towards. I've had guests on here who they do extreme things as towards as you have to tell the other person's mom that you love them or something about buying them flowers. I've seen it all in terms of competitions that people do just to kind of keep themselves motivated and keep the fun exchange going. But it's nothing like
Yeah.
trying with your friends and having a good group of people to keep you motivated because those are the people who understand. They understand what you're going through, but then it just makes it fun. And even if everyone doesn't do any all the parts, having a relay team is even more fun because everyone gets to do a part and it's like three people on one team going after the same goal essentially. It's just like we want to be out here engaged, but we may not all swim, we may not all ride bikes, we may not all run, but we can do the part that we're good at. So yeah, just any way you can try, I say do it.
It makes the finish line so much more fun when you've got either people there waiting for you or they're coming up behind you. Yeah, I mean, and that's the, Core's mission when we started was first to make the best gear available to athletes in endurance sports, stuff that fits, stuff that functions, stuff that is, you can really trust. But the second part was to build this community of supportive, inspiring athletes. And so when we started our ambassador team, it was, you didn't have to be fast to be on it. You didn't have to be a certain size. You didn't have to be, you know, in a certain age group. We took a whole swath of different ladies from different backgrounds, for the reason that we just talked about, like, because you never know who you're going to inspire. And to me, it was really important to have this group of fun, almost goofy, you know, silly women out there. Some of them are insanely fast. I mean, some of them are podium winners in Kona. But they're also just people that are going to go out there and go back and run with, you know, somebody who's bringing up the finish line of an Ironman at midnight. They're the people that are going to go out there and be like, you know, I don't know you, but I see you're wearing a core kit. Let me run with you. Or let me give you a high five. So yeah. People that are really, really inspiring in that and encouraging in that way to get you over those little humps that you sort of fight against yourself with. So mm-hmm. I think that's super important, and it's more fun that way.
Mm, I love it. So let's deep dive more into your story. Like, what's the distance that you prefer to race the most?
I have no fast twitch fibers at all, but I am a diesel engine. So the longer the race, the better for me. I was definitely excelled at Ironman and 70.3, but definitely Ironman. If I was still doing the race, I think I would have to try Ultraman. But definitely the longer distances are better for me. So
when did you discover
I was
that?
Called it. Yeah. You know, that's a really interesting question, because I always knew I was sporty, but I had no idea that I would be good at something like triathlon. I grew up swimming, so I knew how to swim. I'm not a good runner. I've rode bikes around the neighborhood when I was a kid. I had no idea how to properly ride a bike. And I just fell in love with the bike portion of triathlon. And that sort of became my sweet spot, that the swim and the bike. And then I always called it running scared, because I was always looking over my shoulder at people coming up behind me. But I just remember the first time I ran 5 miles, 6 miles, the first time I ran 8 miles, I thought it was just the coolest thing in the whole world. The first time I did 50 miles on a bike, I was like, nobody can stop me in anything, let alone having to do, you know, another 50 miles in a race. But it was just such an eye-opening world. And then, of course, I got to do it with my now husband, and that was such a treat to be able to do that with him. I did not know I had that in me. I did not know I would make a career out of the sport. My parents thought we were crazy. We slowly started to find, like-minded people when we'd be out on a long bike ride, or we were doing a century ride or something like that. But really in the beginning, we didn't have other friends that did it with us. So it was like the slow growth. And then we moved to San Diego, and it was just like everybody, you know, every neighbor on every side of you is doing an Ironman tomorrow. I slowly fell in love with the longer distance.
San Diego seems like it was a catalyst for you and your husband. What caused the move to San Diego from the East Coast?
My husband's job, he got hired at Petco, which was headquartered in San Diego, which was an amazing place to be employed. So the headquarters were out there, and so we moved out there. And it was just right up the road from the San Diego Tri Club, and where a bunch of the open water swims and the master's classes were over at UCSD. So it was a great town for that, for sure.
And you said that if you were still competing, you would do an Ultraman. So when did you stop competing, and why?
Well, I started this thing called CORE, and it started taking up more and more of my time. that gets into a little bit more personal information, but like right when Reg and I were getting to move to Los Angeles, my father had passed away unexpectedly, like 2 days after we got back from Kona. And we had a dog pass away 2 weeks after that. We moved to a new city. So everything just for a while came to kind of a screeching halt, and it made me really sort of reevaluate what I was doing and what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to start core. So I was like, that's gonna take priority here. Still swim, bike, and run, absolutely. But as we mentioned before, sometimes, having your own business can take up 23 of the 24 hours of the day. And like I said, I'm gonna give everything I can to what's right in front of me. So I'm sort of, I gave the first couple of years, I gave everything I could to core. And it's basically all I did. And I got outside of formal training, but I would still just sort of ride, run, and swim when I could, because I love doing all those things. But so I haven't really done a lot of formal competition since then. I've done some relays and a couple of, but it's real humbling getting back into that fighting shape, especially when you're 10 years older than you were before. So, but I have some goals for this year, so we'll see.
Kebby, I understand having to take a pause when you're having so much happen at one time, and it's like you're being hit left and right, and you have to pick a lane to go in just so you can survive. And
Yeah.
grief is something that can take a lot out of you. I understand that. And recently, I actually put a pause on some things. I was like, wait a minute, I can't do everything. Just because you don't have, if for those listening and you've experienced grief, you know it's like something just takes the insides out of you. And you're just like, huh. Some people thrive in it, some people don't. We are all different in
It's a different.
how we process grief. But I think it's one of those things where minimizing the harm that you can do long term by dealing with it and taking away something so that you can focus on something else. And in this case, triathlon was on the back burner while you focused on core. And so that was enough. And we thank you for sharing the story with me, number one, because you didn't have to share. So thank you. But I also resonate with your story and having to make a decision about what do I do, and the sacrifices that you took while participating in a sport that you loved and was really good at has now impacted a legacy of people to come. Because now you've impacted them by giving them the confidence to wear something. And so I just salute you and say thank you for that selfless sacrifice.
Thank you so much for saying that. And your description of grief was spot on for me. I was when my dad passed away, I was absolutely gutted. And just like most anybody who's gone through something like that, I was going back and forth but across the country. My mom was in Atlanta, so I wanted to make sure she was okay. And so I was going back and forth a lot. So there were just, that there wasn't time to go on long bike rides. I could squeeze in a run if I could, that type of thing. But one of the things for me personally, core is core. My dad and I were like sports buddies. So, even though he thought it was crazy doing Ironman, he was 100% behind us. And, he came to each, when I got to go to Kona, he would come and he drove around the course cheering, even though he had no idea what was really going on. And so, and when I was a little kid, I would wake up early and I'd sit on the top of the stairs and wait for my dad to wake up so he and I could go play tennis or go run or go do something sporty together. So when he passed away, that was really, like you said, it really gutted me. But part of it, and part of it at that point, I was, I'd been doing Ironman for a number of years. I was like, I can take a pause on this and start this new endeavor, and do it knowing Dad, I've been building something Dad would be really proud of. And I do think he would be. So I kind of took that with me. I was always more sort of the creative type to his accountant type. So for him to know that I've been maintaining a business for 10 years is a real fun thing.
Well, kudos to you. And thank goodness you have
Thank you.
some guardian angels watching over you. So that's a good
100%.
thing.
100%.
Yeah.
I do,
So.
and Reg has been wonderful. He supports this mission, and he is all behind the ladies on the team and everything. And I can't believe I got so lucky with my husband, my soulmate, and my partner in crime that he's behind this whole messaging. So
I mean, from the beginning, he's like, go do it. Let's start small and let's
yep.
grow it. Like, kudos to you, Reg. Like, I
Yeah.
appreciate that. Like,
Yeah.
just hearing that excites me and motivates me that he wanted you to have this win and
Well,
he could see the vision.
I think it's important that you have, like you said earlier, that there's people in your corner to cheer you on. Because when you're not having a good day, it's hard to keep putting one foot in front of the other. But
Yeah.
you gotta find your cheerleaders, and you gotta find the people that believe in you and that can pump you up when you're down. So I'm extremely lucky. I have
Yeah.
a number of good friends like that too. So and all of them are from the sport. So it's pretty incredible. Because I think
Yeah.
this thing teaches you a thing or two about being tough and getting back up when you get knocked down. So sometimes literally.
Sometimes literally. One of my favorite songs,
Sometimes.
it takes me back to college days, but Aaliyah had this song, "If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again." And honestly, when I
I
think
love
about
it.
it, that's been the story of my existence. Like, there's something I may not get the first or second time, and I'll get knocked down, and I'll get back up and do it again. And then it's like, okay, I get it. And some people have to be in a remedial class. It's okay. I'm a part of the remedial class.
Sometimes I'm right there. Absolutely.
But just don't quit. We're not going to get everything and knock it out the box the first time, but just don't keep yourself down and just, it's okay to start over. It's okay to redefine who you are at any time in your life. It's okay to say, you know what? I want to do
Absolutely.
something different. So do it. So yeah, there's that.
Absolutely. And the world, I think the world needs that too. And the world needs you starting those things
Yeah.
and showing off something new. Yeah, I think we have a saying in CORE, if we try something new, our saying is always to fail fast. And so if it doesn't work out, it didn't work out. So what? Shut the door on it, move forward, try something
That's
else.
it.
But don't get hung up in it. Just don't wallow in it. Just keep going.
Yeah. So not wallowing in it is something that we do as athletes. We don't have the time to do that because we have to keep moving into the transition for the next thing. And so, thinking about transitions and thinking about the three disciplines, what is your favorite discipline and why?
Well, I'm definitely the bike. I'm probably best at the swim and the bike. I was a pretty competitive swimmer when I was younger, but I am terrified of things with teeth in the water. So I am irrationally afraid of the ocean. So I don't love some of that, but I do love being in water. I love swimming. But the bike really was an eye-opener for me, is how much I loved it, how much I got into the technical bits of it and the machinery of it. And I just love that I could sort of meld with this machine, this engine, and go wherever, pretty much wherever I wanted to do. I could climb mountains with it. I could descend these hills with it. I could ride when it's snowing out. I can ride when it's 110 degrees out in the desert. It took me places I never thought I would go. And so the bike is definitely my favorite. Running is a distant third. Even though I do love it too, it's a lot harder to come around for me with the run.
I'm sure so many people feel the same way. Running is a distant third, and that it is what it is. But we do it and we keep it moving.
That's
What is your most
right. That's right.
fondest memory? You say that long course is that's where you thrive the most because you're more of a diesel. And so you can just keep going and going. So, what is your fondest
Yeah.
memory of doing triathlons?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's see. I would have to say, I mean, in a race setting, I remember the first time I knew I was gonna win my age group at a race. And I kind of couldn't believe it, but I had a friend that had given me some splits like 3 miles out from the finish line. And yeah, I I think I came in seventh overall in an Ironman as an age grouper, and that was an incredible, really special day. It was everything just went as well as it could have been planned. It wasn't one of those days when you're like, okay, well, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? It just sort of unfolded, and I was just so grateful, and it was so lovely, and I felt, I felt really proud of the work I had put in to get to that place. But then I remember my favorite part of not just me, but I was doing a race in Kona, and my parents had driven out. I don't even know how they got out there. I think the road was closed, but my dad had somehow driven my family out to this deserted area of the bike course out towards Javi, and it's pretty desolate out there, and it's windy, and it's, there's no shade, so it's pretty much a grind, and you still got to get up to Javi and then turn around and come back. And somehow my parents popped up around this corner, and they were cheering me on. I was like, you know what? I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky I get to do this race. I'm gonna keep pushing because they're here for me. So I'm gonna give it all I've got. So, but that was really special. So I've also done things like wear my helmet backwards in a sprint race. So I've definitely messed things up too.
Mean, I'm sure you can't have the good moments without the bad moments, but it's those cherished good moments of having family out there to watch you grind it out, no matter if it's a short race or a long race, but it's, and particularly the long races, because you're out there and you're taking your body through such a rigorous activity. And then on top of that, Kona, which is the highest stage at the time for, triathletes and professionals alike, that's major. And so kudos to you for having that memory.
Thank you.
What would you say is one of your proudest moments for CORE?
I hope this doesn't sound too cheesy or Pollyanna-ish, but there's really not big moments. There are certainly some big moments that have I've been super proud of. But what gets me the most and happens more frequently, but on a smaller scale, is when a customer writes in and says, "Thank you so much for making gear that I can wear." I'm, an overweight grandmother, or I'm a teenager that is just coming up into the sport, whatever, but I could never find the clothes. And now I can do a sport that I love and I found camaraderie in and I found a lifestyle in. Getting to hear those people tell me that's the gold right there. No questions asked. I don't need awards or anything like that, as long as I know it's working for people. And then to have people say, "Gosh, the women on your team are so nice. I wasn't having a great day, and I had a mechanical on my bike, and somebody stopped, and they were wearing your brand, and they stopped and helped me." And I was like, that's the gold. It's just those little things on a more consistent basis that really cheer me up, rather than, being like, "Ah, this happens and I have a trophy." But so yeah, that makes my day.
It makes mine too. So for those of you who continue to write in to CORE, keep doing it. Those who
Thank
create
you.
need to know that they're doing a good job. So don't be afraid. You're not a bother. Let me tell you right now, you are not bothering them when
Oh
you
my
send good messages. So
God.
please keep sending in the good messages so that Kebby and the team can know just how much you're impacted by
Thank you.
their attire. Now let's talk about this, because again, we have this relatability with beginners. You have a program, and I love that it's FTP. So would you like to share with us the FTP program with this audience?
Absolutely. The FTP program at CORE is the first timers program. Of course, a first timer has no idea what FTP means, functional threshing pole. But so we had, we're always looking to see how we can get more people involved in the sport. Kind of like your mission with this podcast is, how do we encourage more people to live a healthy lifestyle of sport and fitness? And the more we talked to some of the women that was on our team, we had a lot of race directors. And we were thinking, gosh, I wonder if we could, get a number of slots for each race. And if we could sponsor some races, get some buy slots, you know, 10 to 20 slots at each race, and get a bunch of newcomers to come in, and really try and, you know, get somebody over to that first, that fifth, that start line, and then the finish line. So last year was our first year. We sponsored 7 races across the country. We had about 20 women at each, and they've all completed their race. They get a, basically they come to us, they get a welcome pack that gives them some, you know, some critical pieces that they're going to need for training. They get a discount for the website. They get the free race entry. So they're not having to really come out of pocket too much to do the race. And then, you know, we typically send somebody to the race to cheer them on as well. And then they get to get into a Facebook group with our ambassador and our community club team members so that they can ask any questions they have in a safe and supportive environment. So, you know, do I wear underwear under my tri shorts? You know, do I, you know, what is this chamois stuff? So they can ask all those questions without being too embarrassed to ask them. And, you know, we've got a number of women that are awesome about, you know, taking these ladies under their wing and really showing them the ropes, which is super helpful. And something I wish I had at, you know, when I was first starting.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So thank you for creating that community, because it's nothing like creating a small intimate community where they have now tri-sisters across the country or at that race, if it's local, so that they can continue to do it and not just do it one time, but then continue to come back and do it again. And so I think that's a great way to help eliminate the barrier to entry, which is one of them is financial. And right. So thank you for doing that. That's a really cool, a cool way to kind of give back. I love it.
Yeah, and to say selfishly, you know, hopefully we hope they become a sticky customer going forward, because we were there when they started. So, you know, there is some business sense behind it. But we know that, especially, you know, depending on where you're coming from, it can be, this is an expensive sport, period. It gets more expensive every day. So when we can do something to help with that, you know, we would like to be able to.
I'm here for it. And I know those who are recipients of it are too. So yes. So if you are listening to this and you're contemplating being a part of, you know, doing a triathlon, go to the CORE website and look up the FTP program so that you can have an opportunity to have a race entry and just a community of people who can help you as you grow. So be sure to check that out. It's the FTP program. So go to
coresports.com, or you can email us at info@coresports.com. And something we're going to start doing is, even if you're not a first timer at one of the races that we sponsor and officially have the program for, we're more than welcome to, or we're more than happy to give you the welcome box and get you involved, get you into that first timers Facebook group where you can ask the questions and sort of become part of this first timer community, so that you can have that support system as well. So no matter what race you're doing, feel free to just email us info@coresports.com and we'll get you hooked up.
And is this women only, or can men be involved as well?
It is right now. It's just women only. We'll see. We may be doing some men's stuff later this year. That'll be pretty fun too, though.
Okay. Just wanted to ask. Well, thank you so much. There's so many more questions I'm sure we could ask you and go deeper. And that means we would need another episode. So this just leaves room for us to invite you back. And perhaps the next time you come back, we can have somebody from the FTP program to kind of talk about their experience so that people can share their experience. So yeah, let's think about the more in the future. So yeah.
However, let's do it. Not
done yet. We have rapid fire questions. So let's get ready for rapid
Lord,
fire.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, you should, because I don't know where my brain is going to go with that. But no, okay, but thank you so much.
Let's
we appreciate it. All right. Oh, did you just see what we did? We were just women.
We totally, you're so right.
We just did what women do. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. First rapid fire question.
This is like a reality TV show. You're making me wait.
I know, I'm making myself wait because I don't know where to go.
I
haven't heard
a little bit.
I know. I usually get like a prompt where I want to have someone go first, it's like, I already know, but today it's like, I feel something different and I feel like I need to go a different direction. So let's
Okay.
just.
Interesting.
Ah, okay.
I can see the
So
wheels turning.
I know mental strength is crucial in endurance sports. Can you share a mental strategy or a mindset shift that helps you stay motivated and overcome challenges, either in work or when you were training and racing?
In racing, training and racing, I do a lot of what Dr. Simon Marshall, one half of Braveheart Coaching, always taught us, which was to almost count and talk your way through the pain, embrace the pain, have it be part of you, be grateful for it, and count your way through it or sing a song going through it. And the next thing you know, you've been distracted a little bit and you're on to the next section. So, mental strength, I'd say just put your head down, try and find some enjoyment in the moment, even if it's painful, and make, just know that you're going to come out on that other end, and it's the hard work is going to be worth it.
Did you prefer T1 or T2?
T2, stripping off a wetsuit is no fun. And occasionally, if your shorts start to come off with it, that's no fun either for anybody.
Love it. Road bike or triathlon bike?
Oh, don't make me pick. Okay, I'm gonna pick a tri bike because I call it nap position. When you're in aero bars, you can always take like a little nap. So,
Just don't really take a nap.
but road bikes are road, but no, of course, road bikes are fun though because you can, if you had to, you can go off road a little bit or jump over things that you can't really do it on a triathlon bike.
Morning or evening workouts?
Morning, even though some mornings I say evening, I think. Morning's good. Just knock it out and get it done. You'll feel better during the day, even if you get nappy around 2 o'clock.
Homemade nutrition or store-bought options?
Well, in an ideal world, I would make it myself, but I'm a convenience efficiency girl. So if somebody's got the good product out there, and we know a bunch of companies that make good product, I'm buying. Why reinvent the wheel if they can already do it and do it right?
That's it. Favorite post-race meal?
Burger fries.
And what motivation or encouragement would you give to someone who's wanting to try or they're about to go into their first race? Could you send some encouragement to our beginners?
Yep. I would say that you're gonna love it when you get to that finish line. But basically, what we've been saying this whole discussion is keep going, keep going, keep going. You're here for a reason. Keep going. It's going to feel so good when you get to that finish line. I
And
think that's just life. Keep going.
that's it. Just keep going. And final question that we don't let people leave the podcast without asking. Do you pee on the bike or get off and take a proper pee break?
You want to hear a funny, very embarrassing story
Of course.
about this?
Sure.
Okay, it's all out. You guys are going to know me so well after this. This was one of the most embarrassing things that's really ever happened to me. So just for speed, I pee on the bike. I do it, ladies. There it is. Wash yourself off with a water bottle afterwards. But I was doing a training camp once. This was for Ironman Louisville. I was doing a training camp and we were riding the course and I was out by myself. And they had told us in the classroom beforehand, if you can do it on the bike, because you don't lose any time. And, you just have to sort of relax and think about something else. And just, they were like, whatever you do, do it going down a hill. So you're not working. So you're coasting and it's easier. And so I was coming up to this hill and it was great. I was like, okay, so this is the first time I was ever going to do it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm peeing on the bike. And I get to the bottom of the hill and I'm starting to go back up, and all of a sudden this car pulls up next to me and it's the coaches, and they were like, way to pee on the bike, we saw the whole thing, you did that really well, the only thing is to make sure you're in a perfect gear when you come up so you can go back up the hill easier, you're in the wrong gear. And I was like, you saw that whole thing? I was so embarrassed, so embarrassed. So yep, that was a public display right there. I should have been arrested. So I don't encourage that part. And make sure there's nobody behind you, but you can do it. I mean, you're soaking wet anyways. Just you're gonna put water over your head anyways. So, oh my God, I can't believe I just shared that.
I think it's so funny that they would call you out on that. Like, why would you do that to me? You already know that I've already done it. Like, I'm already, and you know, when you do pee on
I think
yourself.
they were trying.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I think they were trying to give me a compliment by saying I did it the right way, and I did it. I
Oh.
was doing it properly, like going down a hill. But I was still like, oh my God.
Oh my God. And that's the point I'm
Nobody needs to
making.
see that.
When you pee on your, it's like peeing on yourself. You get in trouble for so many years growing up about peeing on yourself. And then all of a sudden, you get to the point where it's acceptable to pee on yourself and someone calls it out. At least for me, I'm still not 100% okay with the act of, you know, having to
I know, because
pee on
it's
the bike.
so weird.
So weird. It's
It's
so
so
weird.
weird.
Yeah.
And I do have the people that are kind enough to offer to carry your gear after a race too. You're like, you don't want to do that. Let me grab those shoes back from you.
No. That's the part that I'm sometimes not sure I should ask this question, even though I think it's hilarious, because of the people who are in support positions in Sherpas who have to take people's stuff back. It's like, oh, the stuff that has happened. Oh, we just have,
Yes.
we almost like, oh. Anyway,
Share it with the pinky if you could.
right, just
God bless those people. God bless them. We all
goodness
need them.
gracious. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. There's no grace or shame left in triathlon regarding those matters.
I think it does go out the window. I really do think that any you learn to just be. And if you were a person like myself coming in like such a like don't want to touch things, you get over it. You're just like
Yeah.
whatever. Well, Kebby, thank you so much. Are you from
Thank
Georgia
you.
originally?
Not originally, but I went to high school here, and we've been back here. I met Reg here, so yeah, we're from Atlanta for the most part originally, and then we've been in California for about 15 years, and we're slowly moving back to Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Well, Kebby, thank you so much. This has been a great time with you, and I'm just going to go ahead and call you my home girl since you grew up in Atlanta. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia,
Yeah.
and so we are
Did
some.
you
I
Oh
did.
my gosh. Okay, yeah, we are. There we go.
Yeah, we're just some sweet peaches. So
Some sweet Georgia peaches.
some sweet Georgia peaches. Oh, sorry, getting myself together. But yeah, so thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening, remember, you all, what do I forgot what I was supposed to say. Don't forget, whenever you try beginner's luck, you always win. I'm Ashonda, and you
Yes.
can get the podcast wherever your favorite podcast platform is. And we also show this on YouTube. So be sure to go to YouTube and subscribe. We want to grow our YouTube, audience, and we have Ask a Coach now. So for those of you who have a barrier to coaching and you want to get coaching advice, submit your questions. The link will be in the show notes below, and we will get your question answered at our next episode. All right, my name is Mashonda Shines, and we're out. Peace. I didn't do that right.
Thank
Peace.
you.
Bye. All right.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. We need your help so we can continue to try at TBL. So for more information on where you can find and subscribe to this podcast, visit www.trybeginnersluck.com. And don't forget, whenever you try beginner's luck, you always win.